ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय The reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 6, Dhyana Yoga, text 37, page 307. Archaha. Archaha. Shradayo peito. Agaj chalita manasa apapya yoga tamsirim kam katim krishna kachati arjuna vacha Adyati shala yopeto yoga chalita manasa aprabhya yoga samsirim amgatim krishna gatati arjuna vacha Ayati Shada Yopeto Yoga Chalita Manasa Aprapya Yoga Samsirim Kamgatim Krishna Gachati Word for word, Arjuna Vacha. Arjuna said, Hayati, the unsuccessful transcendentalist. Shradhaya, with faith. Upeta, engaged. Yoga, from mystic link. Chalita, deviated. Manasa, who has such a mind. Aprabhya, failing to attain. Yoga samsiddhim, highest perfection in mysticism. Kam, which? Gatim, destination. Krishna, O Krishna. Gachati, achieves. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Arjuna said, O Krishna, what is the destination of the unsuccessful transcendentalist who in the beginning takes to the process of self-realization with faith, but later desists due to worldly mindedness and does not attain perfection in mysticism? Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The path of self-realization or mysticism is described in Bhagavad Gita. The basic principle of self-realization is knowledge that the living entity is not this material body or is different from it, and that his happiness is an eternal bliss and knowledge. These are transcendental, beyond both body and mind. Self-realization is sought by the path of knowledge, by the practice of the Eightfold Yoga System, or by Bhakti Yoga. In each of these processes, one has to realize the constitutive superficial living entity, his relationship with God, and activities whereby he can re-establish the lost link and achieve the highest perfectional stage of Krishna consciousness. Following all the above mentioned three methods, one is sure to reach the supreme goal sooner or later. This is ascertained by the Lord in the second chapter. Even a little endeavor on the transcendental path offers a great hope for deliverance. Out of these three methods, the path of Bhakti Yoga is especially suitable for this age, because it is the most direct method of God realization. To be doubly assured, Arjuna is asking Lord Krishna to confirm his former statement. One may sincerely accept the path of self-realization, but the process of cultivation of knowledge and practice the Eightfold Yoga System are generally very difficult in this age. Therefore, despite constant endeavor, one may fail for many reasons. First of all, one may not be sufficiently serious about following the process. To pursue the transcendental path is more or less to declare war on Maya, illusory energy. Consequently, whenever a person tries to escape the clutches of illusory energy, she tries to defeat the practitioner by various allurements. A conditioned soul is already allured by the modes of material energy, and there is every chance of being allured again, even while performing transcendental disciplines. This is called Yogach Chalita Manasaha, deviation from the transcendental path. Arjuna is inquisitive to know the results of deviation from the path of self-realization. Om Arganat Ramdasya Janajana Sakaya Sakshulumitam Zena Tazmei Shri Gurvenaha Shri Shaitanya Manobhistam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Danti Swapadantukam Panchakoputrivyascha Vipasinduvevacha Padnam Pavnevyo Vaishnevyo Namo Maha Shri Krishna Shaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adraita Gadadhar Srivasale Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation once again. Arjuna said, O Krishna, what is the destination of the unsuccessful transcendentalist when the beginning takes the process of self-realization with faith, but later desists due to worldly mindedness and thus does not attain perfection in mysticism? So this section of Bhagavad Gita, text 37 to 45, is talking about the destination of an unsuccessful yogi. So the word mysticism is used here, and by dictionary definition, a person who tries to obtain God. This is giving what definition in of mysticism. Person who's trying to attain God. So in this verse and purport, we can discuss different processes of yoga. We can discuss what is the destination of those who don't complete their Krishna consciousness, and what is the cause for people to give up or become failures in their yogic practice. So we know Maharaj Parikshit was on a hunting expedition. His kings go to the forest to hunt, and he came to this hermitage of one sage, and the sage was in Samadhi. So Maharaj Parikshit was thirsty. He wanted some water. So he asked the sage for some water. But the sage was in Samadhi, so he couldn't respond. And Maharaj Parikshit felt that he was offended. So he took a dead snake and put it on the neck of the sage. Now when the sage's son came and saw what had happened, he was only 12 years old, but this was in Dwapara Yuga, or the beginning, before Kali Yuga, and he was a Brahmin, son of a Brahmin. He had mystic power, Brahma Tejas. So he cursed Maharaj Parikshit that he would die in 7 days by being bit by the by a snake bird. So the point is here that Arjuna wants to know what is the destination of an unsuccessful person who's practicing self-realization. So the person may be unsuccessful because he has to meet with death. And no one knows when they're going to die. Maharaj Parikshit had the benediction that he knew he was going to die in 7 days. So he could prepare himself. He renounced his kingdom, renounced his family, renounced everything he had, and went to sit on the bank of the Ganges or Yamuna to hear what is the goal, or what is the business of someone who's going to die? What should one do if one's going to die? And by doing this, by hearing from Sukadeva Goswami, he attained perfection and went back to Godhead. But we're not so fortunate, so we don't know when death will come. And we don't know if we're going to be fully Krishna conscious at that time. As if he may or may not be fully Krishna conscious. So some there's Sambandhan Gyan, Abhideya, and Parojana. Sambandha Gyan means establishing a relationship with the Lord, with Krishna. And that is represented in the deity Madan Mohan. For those who are visiting Vrindavan for the first time, they should visit all the seven Goswami temples. But Madan Mohan represents Sambandha Gyan, establishing our relationship with Krishna. Then the Govindaji temple represents Abhideya, which means to understand how to serve Krishna. Well, we understand what our relationship is, then we can understand how we're supposed to, how to render service. And Parojana is represented by the Gopinath temple, and that means complete perfection, obtaining pure love for Krishna. Anyabila Sita Sunyam Jnana Karma Ramitam Anukulaya Krishna Sno Bhakti Uttamam. So we're all spirit soul, and we spirit soul is Satchitananda, eternally full of knowledge and bliss. So Aham Brahmasmi, we're not this body. But when we're contaminated by the modes of material nature, we're identifying with this body, and therefore we're not experiencing Satchitananda, or eternity, or knowledge and bliss. But if one comes to the Brahma-Bhuta platform, Brahma-Bhuta prasanna mana sojati na kanchati samasaresu bhuteshu madbhaktim lapate param, then there's no more lamenting, no more hankering. One is always joyful. One realizes that he's not this body, that he's Brahman, his spirit soul. But that's not enough. We also have to realize that we're eternal servants of Krishna. In the Brahma Samhita, it says, "There's pantas tu koti satavatsara samragam yo. Vayur atapi manaso muni pungavanam so api asti yat prapap jasincha avichinchatatve govindam aripushat namaha bhajami." I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord. Only the tip of the toe of whose feet is approached by the yogis who aspire after the transcendental and betake themselves to pranayama by drilling the respiration, or by the jnanis who try to find out the non-differentiated Brahman by the process of elimination of the mundane extending over thousands and millions of years. So this is what is being described here. Two paths. The path of the jnani. They are trying to understand by philosophical speculation they want to obtain Brahman realization. And the yogis, they're performing the Eightfold Mysticism process. They want to attain, they're trying for a Paramatma realization. In either case, there must be some element of bhakti there to be successful. And but these two processes, jnana and yoga, are not for this age. And Krishna described this process of yoga to Arjuna. Arjuna rejected it, saying it's too difficult because the mind, it's too difficult to control the mind. To actually practice yoga, you have to go to a secluded place, sit down, be free from fear and sex desire, and meditate with half-open eyes. It's not possible for anybody in this age to do that. But and people don't really know what yoga is. Yoga means to link with the Supreme. That's the real meaning of yoga. But in the Western world, there are so many different yoga studios where people go there simply to do some gymnastics and to keep their body fit, but they don't really have any knowledge or understanding what is yoga. So we have so many books that we give to people. We tell them it's about yoga and meditation, but it's not about exercise or karma or hatha yoga, but it's about bhakti yoga. And bhakti yoga, Prabhupada says in this purport, that this is the best process in this age. So these people practice yoga with some faith. The gyanis and yogis, they have some faith, but it's a difficult path, not easy to perform, and it's not always successful. We know Vishwamrita Muni was meditating for 60,000 years, and Indra became worried. Indra gets worried when someone becomes powerful that he's going to take his post. Indra is a post, and different personalities become Indra in the different ages. So this Indra in that age was worried that this sage was becoming so powerful that he would take over his post as the king of heaven. So he sent one society girl, Menaka, to break his meditation. And he was trying his best to not be allured by the material energy, but he simply by hearing the sound of her ankle bells, he broke his meditation, and as a result, they had a child. And also, Sobari Muni was meditating for 10,000 years in the Yamuna. And when he saw two fish having sex life, he became agitated, came out of the water, and went to the king in Mathura, whose name was Mandapa, and said, "I want to marry your daughter." The king had 50 daughters, and the king said they can choose to marry anyone they want. But Sabari Muni, because he was underwater for so long, his body was not very beautiful. It was all wrinkled and old. So he had transformed himself into a beautiful young man. And when all the 50 daughters saw that man, they all wanted to marry him. So he said, "Okay, I'll marry all of you." So he married all 50 of them, and from each one he had 100 children. So he had 5,000 children. So that's a lot of mouths to feed. So he was not successful. But these are two cases where someone was practicing mystic yoga, but they were allured by the material energy. Daiviesha gunamayi mamamaya dharaya. We know that the material energy is very difficult to overcome. But those who surrender to Krishna can easily overcome it. So they are not able to be successful in the yoga process. But Subhari Muni, at the end of his life, he realized that having so many wives and having so much sense enjoyment was not of any benefit. So he retired to the forest with his 50 wives and went practice self-realization and went back to Godhead. So there's other stories, like Ajamil. He was a sincere practitioner of devotional service. He worshipped Lord Narayan in his childhood very sincerely. He was a pure Vaishnav, pure Brahmin. But at one point, his father sent him to collect some flowers for puja, and he saw a Sudrani being embraced by a Sudra, and he became attracted to that woman. And he married her and forgot about all his spiritual practices. But Srila Prabhupada told Hari Sari that Ajamil's fall down was actually accidental. Because in the beginning, when he became attracted to the prostitute, he tried to control himself. He didn't want to do it. But he just didn't have the power to resist the pushings of the material energy. So the material energy Her name is Durga. Durga means fort, or one who, it's her job to keep everyone bound up in the material world. So when we take to devotional service, Maya will try and test us in so many ways to see if we're actually sincere. If you want to serve Krishna, then Maya will help you. But if you want to disturb Krishna, then Maya will also will allure you in so many ways and take you away from Krishna. So actually, when we're taking any one of these processes, means we're declaring war on Maya. And when there's a war, so many people are killed. So one devotee used to say that it's not surprising how many people are killed in the war, it's surprising how many people survive. So to survive the war against Maya, we have to follow the process given by Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna Varnam Krishna Trishnam Sangam Pangas Rasam. So, yoga, what is that? Kantihi Sumedha Shaha. That Lord Chaitanya came 500 years ago. Krishna Varna Trishna Krishnam. That he's Krishna. He's the Yuga avatar, but he's not black. He has a golden complexion. And Yajnyan Sankirtan Prayer, Yantihi Sumedha Shaha. He comes to inaugurate the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, chanting of the holy name, so one can attain pure devotional service, prema bhakti. So this Lord Chaitanya comes when Krishna appears in Dwapara Yuga and has his lila in Vrindavan, Raj pastimes, then Lord Chaitanya also appears at that time. So once in the day of Brahma, it was a very long time, does Krishna appear and perform his Raj lila, and then Lord Chaitanya appeared 500 years ago in the Kali Yuga. So, Maro Mahavanadaya Krishna Premadaya Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Maro Guru Tsemnaha. So described in the second chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, that Lord Chaitanya is the most munificent or magnanimous incarnation because he's giving freely what no other incarnations give, and that is prema bhakti. There are other incarnations which are called Gaur Narayan, and they only give the Aishwarya Bhav or Vaikuntha Bhav or four kinds of liberation, where you can be have the same bodily form as the Lord, live on the same planet as the Lord, have the same opulence as the Lord, and you can become have oneness with the Lord. But these opulences are not desired by the persons practicing Krishna consciousness. Krishna easily gives liberation to his people, even the demons he kills. But that liberation means they go to the Brahma Yoti, or sometimes they get Sarup City, like Kamsa got Sarup City. But these liberations, going to Vaikuntha, is not the highest perfection in the yoga process. But because it is Aishwarya Bhav. So Krishna has three realms in his abode, Goloka Vrindavan. There's Mathura, which is perfect, then there's Dwarka, which is more perfect, and then Vrindavan is most perfect. So Lord Chaitanya that came, this Lord Chaitanya is a two-handed form, is not Gaur Narayan, but is Krishna himself, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Narayana. He comes to inaugurate the Sankirtan movement, and he also comes to experience the mood of Srimati Radharani. When Krishna is attracted by the Radharani, he feels 10 million times more pleasure. But when Radharani is attracted to Krishna, she feels 10 million more times more pleasure. So there's a competition. And so Krishna wants to understand the mood of Radharani. So he came as Lord Chaitanya in a golden complexion. And all his associates also came in male forms so they could participate in Lord Chaitanya's Gaur Lila, which took place in Navadvip and Jagannath Puri and South India. So we're very fortunate that we're in this Kali Yuga in which Lord Chaitanya, who's giving Prema Bhakti, came, which no other incarnations give. There are many incarnations of the Lord, and when Lord Krishna appeared in Vrindavan, all the incarnations also appear with him. And when Krishna kills demons, he is not killing demons, but this Vasudeva expansion is killing demons. And Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Krishna never takes one step out of Vrindavan. So when Krishna goes to Mathura, he's going in his form as Vasudeva Krishna. And when Balaram goes with him, he's also never leaves Vrindavan. He's going in his Shankarshan form. So these different forms give Aishwarya Bhav. They don't give Prema Bhav. But Lord Chaitanya is given Prema Bhav. And this is very what the devotees in this movement we should be striving for. So here it's talking about the yogis. And we know that jnanis and yogis and karmis, they're not, they're to be successful, difficult. But bhakti yoga is the direct process. If one wants to go to the top floor of the Empire State Building, which has 100 floors, you can walk up the stairs. And when you get to the place where you're going, they say, well, it's too late, we're closed today. But if you take the elevator, you can get there in 5 or 10 minutes. So this is the direct process. The other process, indirect processes, are very difficult, and they may or may not be successful. And Krishna confirms this in the 12th chapter, when Arjuna is asked, which is better, the impersonal process or the personal process? And Krishna says of the two, they're both good for liberation, but of the two, the process of devotional service is the best. So in all scriptures, it glorifies devotional service is considered the best of all processes. So when one takes the devotional service, Arjuna wants to know why someone loses his faith and becomes worldly-mindedness, due to worldly-mindedness, which is called yogacchalita manasa. When one becomes deviated by the mind due to worldly-mindedness and he gives up the yoga practice, is not successful in his practice of Krishna consciousness or other practices. So there's no Krishna says in the second chapter, Bhagavad Gita, Nivikramana Sosti, Pyavino Nivijite, Swapama Piyasya Dharma. What's that? Anyway, he says, Nivikramana Sosti, he says, there's no loss or diminution in this process. So if one takes the Krishna consciousness, then in your next life, you can pick it up again. It's like a bank balance. You are, whatever you have in the bank balance, in your spiritual bank account, that goes with the spirit soul to his next birth, next body. So he can try again in his next life. No loss or diminution. But Krishna says, Janma karma chame devyam evam yovita tapa chakradeham punarjama naitimayam so arjuna. That if anyone knows the truth about me, about my appearance and activities, does not take birth again, or Arjuna. And also, in the 15th chapter, Krishna says that abode of mine is not illuminated by the sun or moon, nor fire, nor electricity, One who goes there never comes back. And also, it gives the analogy of the banyan tree. And it says this tree, the banyan tree, cannot be perceived in this world. No one knows where it comes from, how it begins, or how it ends, how it extended. But with the weapon of detachment, with determination, one should cut down this tree with the weapon of detachment, and thereby seek that place which, having once gone, one never returns. So this is the result of Krishna consciousness, that we can go back home, back to Godhead, not to take birth here in the material world, which is a place of misery and suffering. So the last point I'd like to make is why people leave Krishna consciousness. Why people are give up Krishna consciousness. Now Lord Chaitanya met Rupa Goswami in Prayag. He instructed him for 10 days. And he met Sanatana Goswami in Benares and instructed him for 2 months. So when Lord Chaitanya met Rupa Goswami, he explained this Krishna consciousness is a science. So we all know why people come to Krishna consciousness, but we don't know why people leave Krishna consciousness. So Lord Chaitanya explained to Rupa Goswami why people leave Krishna consciousness. It says by Brahmanate Brahmana Kon Jiva Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. According to their karma, all living entities are wandering throughout the entire universe. Some of them are being elevated to the higher planets, some are going down to the lower planetary systems, and out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of devotional creeper, seed of the creeper of devotional service. So this is like an analogy, just like the banyan tree, no one can perceive it. This creeper is there, sown in the heart of the devotee. When a person receives the seed of devotional service, he should take care of it by becoming a gardener and sowing the seed in his heart. If he waters the seed gradually by the process of Shravanam, Kirtanam, hearing and chanting, the seed will begin to sprout. As the one waters the Bhakti Lata beach, the seed sprouts, and the creeper gradually grows to the point where it penetrates the walls of this universe and goes beyond the Viraja River, lying between the spiritual world and the material world. It attains the Brahma Loka, the Brahman effulgent, penetrates through that strata, reaches the spiritual sky and the spiritual planet, Golok Vrindavan. So, this is what happens. The creeper gradually expands in Golok Vrindavan and there produces fruits which are love of God or Krishna Prema. Although the gardener remaining in the spiritual world regularly sprinkles the creeper with water of hearing and chanting. But, this is the point. If a devotee commits an offense at the feet of a Vaishnava while cultivating the creeper devotional service in the world, his offense is compared to a mad elephant that uproots the creeper and breaks it. In this way, leaves the creeper dry up. So we have a creeper. The gardener must defend the creeper by fencing it all around so that the powerful elephant of fences may not enter. So when you have a creeper or a plant, you put in the garden, and you have to fence it around, because the wild animals, especially the monkeys in Vrindavan, will destroy it. So the fencing process is associated with devotees and following the regulated principles. And then we have to water the creeper. But if we don't, we came out of fences, Vaishnava Aparad, then it says here, then the creeper will dry up. So we know the first offense, chanting the holy name, to blasphemy devotees to the Lord, who have dedicated their lives to spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. So this is the mad elephant offense. Even if you put a fence around a creeper, if a mad elephant goes in your garden, it won't make any difference. It will destroy everything, because elephants have a very huge bodies. So we know there are many stories about how people commit Vaishnava Aparad and get immediate reaction, or they may not get a immediate reaction, 3 days or 3 years. But if we're not careful and we commit offenses to a Vaishnava, then you know that there will be a reaction. So we have to always think Trinadapi Sunichana, Trinadapi Sisna, Manina Mandana, Kirtanya Sadhari. So if we think we committed an offense, knowingly or unknowingly, we should go to that Vaishnava, fall down on his feet, beg for his mercy, and beg for his forgiveness. And Devasa Muni thought Maharaj Ambarish had offended him by drinking a little water. He pulled the hair out of his body, and a big fiery demon went to kill Maharaj Ambarish. Of course, this is a great offense to a Vaishnava. So Devasa Muni got an immediate reaction. The Sudarshan Chakra chased him, and his neck was burning. And he went to Lord Brahma, he went to Lord Shiva, he went all over asking people to help him, but no one could help him. He went to Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu said, I can't help you either. Because if you offend Lord Vishnu or Krishna, he doesn't take it very seriously. But if you offend his devotee, then he cannot protect you. That mad elephant will come and destroy your creeper. So you must fall down at that person. One time, someone was, when they first opened the temple here, some man was rolling on the floor in ecstasy, or the devotee thought he was a pretender, so he kicked him in the head. And when they told Prabhupada about this, Prabhupada said, you go find that man and beg for forgiveness. I don't know if he did that, if he found him or not. So, either case, we should be very careful that we don't walk over devotees, that we don't misuse the property of the spiritual master, especially his sitting place and his other paraphernalia. The disciples should not use any of the paraphernalia of the spiritual master. And when we see the spiritual master, one should offer obeisances whenever possible. One should always offer obeisances when he sees his spiritual master. And so there's the Vaishnava Aparad, there's Dham Aparad, there's Seva Aparad, there's Jiva Aparad. So we should try not to commit offenses in any way, even to other living entities. In the Dham especially, they're all Bijbasis, so we should try not to offend even the insects, even the monkeys, the birds. But so if one commits Vaishnava Aparad, then this creeper is curtailed, and one may not be able to practice devotional service for many lifetimes. Depends on the degree of the offense. If you offend the Vaishnava who's a Mahabhagavat, then that is a very heavy offense. If you offend a lesser Madhyamadikari or Kanistamadikari, then the reaction will be lesser. So sometimes unwanted creepers, such as the creeper for desire for material enjoyment and liberation from material world, grow along with the creeper devotional service. The rise of such unwanted creepers are unlimited. So this is called bhukti mukti, desire for liberation and desire for sense enjoyment. He's also, this is called spoiled creeper. And some unnecessary creepers growing with the bhakti creeper are the creeper of behavior unacceptable for those trying to attain perfection. Diplomatic behavior, animal killing, mundane profiteering, mundane adoration, mundane importance. All these are unwanted creepers. So the word for unwanted creeper is upasakaha. These are anarthas, upasakaha, or unwanted creepers. So you have a creeper, as it grows, the weeds grow along with the creeper. So if one does not distinguish between the bhakti lata creeper and the other creepers, the sprinkling of water is misused because the other creepers are nourished while the bhakti creeper, lata creeper, is curtailed. So this is why people leave Krishna consciousness, because the creeper was growing nicely and the unwanted creepers are not look the same as the bhakti lata creeper, but it's a different species. And because they didn't recognize the unwanted creepers, the bhakti lata creeper became curtailed. So this is why we see that the sannyasis and Dori has been in the movement for many, many years. Somehow or other, they leave the movement and again take to materialistic life. As soon as an intelligent devotee sees an unwanted creeper growing beside the original creeper, he must cut it down instantly. Then the real creeper, the bhakti lata, grows nicely, return home, back to Godhead, and seek shelter and lotus feet of the Lord. If one is misled by unwanted creepers and victimized, he cannot make progress back to Godhead. He remains within the material world, engaged in activities having nothing to do with pure devotional service. Such a person may be elevated to the higher planetary system, but because he remains within the material world, he is subject to the threefold material miseries. So this is the warning that we have to understand. The creeper is there, sown in the heart, and one has to be a diligent gardener. So all our activities in Krishna consciousness we must do with great care and attention, especially chanting. When we take the Krishna consciousness, one makes a vow to chant 16 rounds Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But we must chant by trying to give up 10 offenses. And one offense is to be inattentive while chanting. This morning I went in the temple room, see the devotees chanting japa, and many of them were sleeping. So this sleepy japa, his inattentive japa, leads to all the other anarthas. And you will not be successful. And you'll not be able to make any advancement in spiritual life if you're sleeping during your japa. But so if a devotee is sincere, he'll recognize that if I'm going to sit down, I'm going to sleep. He doesn't sit down. He walks around. But some devotees, they know they're going to fall asleep, but they tell themselves, I'm not going to fall asleep, but they sit down anyway and fall asleep. And after half an hour, they see they only chanted 2 rounds or something. So this is not make any progress. And this way, we're committing offenses to the holy name, and eventually we'll not be able to stay in Krishna consciousness unless we're sincere and serious all the time, very careful in our execution of Krishna consciousness. Especially the chanting of 16 rounds must be done with great care and attention, attentively, every single day. And if for some reason you miss chanting your 16 rounds because you're sick or you're traveling or have too much service, then the next day you must make up whatever rounds you missed before you eat or sleep, and then chant 16 rounds again. There's no excuse for not chanting 16 rounds. So Prabhupada initiated many people, like 5,000 people, and many of them for some reason or another, left Krishna consciousness and stopped chanting their 16 rounds. But Prabhupada, whenever a person would come back, he'd always welcome people to come back to Krishna consciousness and try to take up the process again. And even one person was on his deathbed, he gave up Krishna consciousness, but it's just his dying words were, Prabhupada, you've come again. So you may get the mercy of Prabhupada, or you may not, at the time of death. There's no assurance. But if you follow the instructions strictly, and chant 16 rounds, follow the four regular principles your whole life, then Prabhupada said you'll go back to Godhead in this life. He said you just hang on to my dhoti, and he said he had the key to the back door, and he will take us back to Godhead. If we do this simple thing, chant 16 rounds every day and follow the four principles for our whole life. So therefore, Arjuna wants to know why people desist and what is the destination. We know if you practice Krishna consciousness, you can take birth again in a higher planet, in the heavenly planets, and then again take birth on this planet, and in an aristocratic family or a Brahmin family, and again take the Krishna consciousness again. But we don't want to have to take birth again in this material world. So especially in Vrindavan, we should be very careful. Rupa Goswami says six things spoil one's devotional service: unnecessary talking, collecting more than required, eating more than required, not following the rules and regulations, or whimsically following the rules and regulations, associating with world-minded persons, and being greedy for mundane achievements. So these are the no's, and there's the do's and the don'ts. So we should follow the do's and the don'ts. In the Nectar Devotion, there's 64 angas, devotional service. Also there are do's and don'ts. One of the do's is one should not offer one-handed obeisances. It says that in the Nectar Devotion, Hari Bhakti Vilas. We should not offer cell phone obeisances. We should not offer no-handed obeisances. We should not offer bead bag obeisances. With two hands, should touch the ground like we're off, touching the loaded feet of our Guru Maharaj and begging for his mercy. So some people hold the bead bag so it doesn't get dirty, but as long as their hands touch the ground, that's okay. But not one hand. It also says one should not wear blue or red in front of the deities. And they asked Prabhupada why it said that, and he just said, because it says don't do it. But people don't follow that either. So when you're picking out your clothes, you shouldn't buy anything that's blue or red if you're going to wear it in the temple room, because that's restriction is there. So there's many other restrictions, and we should try to follow all of them. We should try to live our life in Krishna consciousness very strictly, especially in Vrindavan. We shouldn't get distracted. Nowadays, it's easy to get distracted on the internet. As soon as you push the wrong button, you see the wrong thing, and then as soon as you push another button, you see something else, and then all of a sudden, sometimes I go in the office in the temple and I see the devotees are watching mundane movies. And that's not, that's an anartha or a one-wanted thing. Doesn't help our Krishna consciousness. It spoils our Krishna consciousness. And also, it says one should not take too many disciples, because that also, if one becomes enamored by accumulation of wealth and disciples, that also will spoil one's Krishna consciousness. But the leaders in our movement felt that the movement had to be spread, and it was urgent that they take many disciples. And Jayapataka Maharaj says that Prabhupada told him to take 50,000 disciples. So these are special cases. But so these things, these anarthas are there in the heart, and it says they're innumerable, so we should be mindful and be aware that I'm not doing any of these things which will cause my creeper to be not to grow properly. And this is why we all come to Krishna consciousness because we think it's so wonderful. And the first year or two, we feel very ecstatic, it's very wonderful. And then as time goes on, Krishna tests to see if you're serious. And if you become lax in your practices, Prabhupada said, if you don't read every word in my book, you'll fall down or you'll become lazy. So we should always be being mindful and not waste our time. It's the 24 hours a day. Hear, chant, remember, name, form, qualities, pastimes of Krishna. So it's not an easy thing to fill up our time with all Krishna consciousness activities. But we should try our best to do that and not be idle, because idle mind is the devil's workshop. But generally, devotees chant 16 rounds, follow up, take some service. If we have service in the temple, then it'll be, they'll fill up the time that we, so we won't be idle, have an idle mind, so we can concentrate on whatever service we have and do that properly. And also Vishnu Thakur says, by chanting this prayer in the morning, Samsara Dava Natali Loka, that simply by chanting that early in the morning, one will attain direct service to Lord Krishna. And now Kartik is coming up, and Kartik is very special in Vrindavan. And the Padma Purana says, the Lord does not award devotional service to ordinary persons who are not serious. But, so devotees who are not serious cannot expect the mercy of the Lord or his devotee. But, even if the devotee is not serious, if he executes devotional service according to the regulated principles in Vrindavan, then he is awarded the Lord's personal service. This is during Kartik. So Kartik is special because everything done in Vrindavan is multiplied 100 times, and in Kartik is multiplied 1,000 times. Some people say 10,000 times. So if we commit offenses in the Holy Dham, then that's multiplied 100 times or 1,000 times. But if we do devotional service, then we get the 100 times or 1,000 times the benefit. And Prabhupada said, if you come to Vrindavan with lusty desires, then you should not stay more than 3 days. So we give our life members the concession that they can stay in our guest house free for 3 days only. Because they're worldly-minded people, they're not all following Krishna consciousness strictly. So after 3 days, they may again commit sinful activities. And if someone's lusty and come to Vrindavan with the wrong intentions, wrong desires, they should not stay in Vrindavan. They should get out of Vrindavan and not commit grievous offenses at the lotus feet of the Holy Dham. The dust of Vrindavan is none different than Krishna. So anybody who comes to Vrindavan should roll in the dust, take the lotus feet of Krishna, fall in the footsteps of Akura. When Akura came to Vrindavan, he saw Krishna's footprints and rolled in the dust. So we should roll in the dust, go to the Yamuna, take bath in Yamuna, visit all the holy places, do all these things that will charge up our battery. Prabhupada told the devotees to come to Vrindavan once a year, Mayapur Vrindavan Festival, so they could charge up their battery. Because in the West, surcharge with the mode of passion and ignorance. So to come back up to the mode of goodness, one can come to Mayapur and Vrindavan to charge up their battery so they can be in pure goodness and then go back out in the material world and preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. So there are many devotees who are doing that, preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world. And Krishna says there's no one more dear to me than someone who is preaching Krishna consciousness. So in either case, we are practicing Krishna consciousness. We should try to stay in Krishna consciousness and not be deviated by these different unwanted creepers or anarthas in the heart. And we should know it's no secret why people leave Krishna consciousness, but still, we should try to encourage those people to come back and take up the process again. Because once you've tasted the nectar of the lotus feet of Krishna, you can't give it up You can't become an ordinary materialistic person again. So sometimes devotees leave, but then they do come back, take to the process again. And Krishna's in the heart, and then from within the heart, he will rectify a person who has fallen away, and again, give him the strength to take to Krishna consciousness again. Our time is up. We'll stop there. Does anybody but Carl Bhajan have a question? We have a microphone.
It's a small technical question.
Wait, take the microphone. Is Carl Bhajan, you have a question? Well, you can take. We'll take his question first. Your question second.
I have two questions. One about the red and the blue.
About what?
About the red and the blue. I read that men can wear red and women can wear blue, but men cannot wear blue because it's Krishna's color, and women cannot wear red because it's Radharani's color. And second, that is the question.
What's the question? Just a statement.
Is it true that men can, red is okay for men and blue is okay for women, but not the opposite?
I never heard that. Where did you hear that? No, it just says we shouldn't wear those colors. I don't know about that. He always has an intelligent question.
Hare Krishna. Oh, you are giving the example of King Indra. He was worried about his post, that Vishwamitra Rishi was having tapasya. So the Vishwamitra was very, he was very observant in this tapasya, and he just sent Menka and he was disturbed. So the question is that why this Lord, he takes the test of the devotees just like Bharat Maharaj. He left everything and he was meditating on Lord, and unless he was attracted to the deer. So this incident is arrangement of the Lord, or our mind is disturbed by that one?
What's the question?
Question is that whether our mind is disturbed or it is the plan of Lord, just like Ajamili. He remembered Lord, his son, but he remembered the Lord. And Bharat Maharaj, he was in one,
yes,
thinking of deer. And this Vishwamitra, he was meditating, and just because King Indra, he thought his post is when he sent the Menka there. So this is the arrangement of the Lord, or it is our fault, is their fault?
Well, in the case of Bharat Maharaj, it was Prarabdha karma from his previous life. It became attached to a deer, but that Prarabdha karma was auspicious Prarabdha karma. There's inauspicious Prarabdha karma, which causes you to suffer, but auspicious Prarabdha karma helps you to increase your bhakti, to go back home, back to Godhead. So in the case of Bharat Maharaj, it was for his advantage. He became attached to a deer so his devotional service could be purified, so he could be purified. But in other cases, I don't know, it doesn't say, but if someone is affected by their Prarabdha karma from past life, it may be inauspicious. It may not be helpful for their devotional service. But in the case of Barmars or Ajamil, they had performed devotional service in their early lives, so they got the benefit of their, were able to think of the Lord. Ajamil, because of his childhood activities, was able to think of the Lord. First he called his son, but then he was actually calling Narayan. And he didn't go back to God immediately. He also had to go back in his body, take the devotional service in Hardwar, and then go back to Godhead. The devotees are given the mercy of the Lord, and it seemingly may not be mercy, but if it it helps them to increase their devotional service, then it's auspicious for Rabdha Karma. It's auspicious. Just like we're reading about Tritiketu, he'll become a demon. But that demon, in that demon body, it facilitated him to go back to Godhead quicker than in his devotee body. Any other questions?
Just like we are practicing our chanting and doing seva in this one, but our material life, we have done so many nonsense things. So at the time of death, anything will come and disturb us in our mind, or we can sincerely chant and sincerely do the seva, and we can go back to God in this lifetime, you said.
Well, when you come to the stage of Nartanivritti, you come to the stage of Sakti, you come to the stage of Nista, then Ruchi, Asakti, then you will no longer think of your things from your previous life. And when you become a pure devotee, by the arrangement of Yoga Maya, she won't let you think of anything from your previous life. So it's a question of the degree of advancement. When the more you become advanced, the less you will think of your past nonsense life. So we have to keep trying. The thoughts come. The mind is like chanchalam, very flickering and unsteady. But we, with our intelligence, we control the mind and take practice Krishna consciousness until we come to that point where our mind is completely absorbed. Savarna Maha Krishna Paravindayo. Maharaj Ambarish was always absorbed in the lotus feet of Krishna. Therefore, his mind could not be deviated. Even if a fiery demon was coming to kill him, he was not disturbed. So Maharaj Parikshit also, because he heard and took the process of hearing and chanting about the name, form, qualities, pastimes of the Lord at the time of death, described in the passing of Maharaj Parikshit, 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he knew he wasn't his body, became fully self-realized, and when he was bit by the snake bird, he didn't feel any pain or have any realization of any connection with the material body. So when you become a pure devotee, you give up all connection with the material body, mind and senses, material mind and senses. But we can develop a pure mind, pure senses, pure intelligence, pure ego. That's what is desired. We have to purify all these things. Dashi Krishna Namavi Namavin Indriyani. By purified senses, then we can perform pure devotional service.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
All glories to Prabhupada. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Vantaraj. Bhagavad Gita Ki.